Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today, I am joined by me. We are solo podcasting today. Today is going to be chock full and super very juicy. I may or may not destroy some worldviews, steal some binkies. So big girl, big boy panties are definitely encouraged for today's show. I don't know that it's going to be all that spicy in terms of like trigger words or political correctness. It's what we're focusing on today is more so just like the fundamental architecture of the sham show and the matrix and breaking down how it works. Before we dive in, I am reminding you to thanking you for clicking that subscribe button, liking, sharing, commenting, sharing this video with at least three friends, as we are a more the merriest kind of tribe. Your support in clicking the like button, dropping an emoji or a single word in the comment really helps in terms of training the algorithm to give me more reach. Also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at DannyKatz.com. I'm getting much better at figuring out the reverse spatialing. Signing up for my newsletter is the very best way to ensure that we get to stay in touch. And as I announced on my last podcast, I am in the process of slowly and steadfastly removing myself from all of the big tech platforms, because they're icky. And so I am starting to use my blog more and more at DannyKatz.com. And ultimately it's where I am going to be posting all my videos, all my announcements. It is of course where you can find my courses, my webinars, my books, ways to work with me, bringing me into your organization as a consultant, doing one-on-one coaching with me. All of that can be found through DannyKatz.com. I never share your information, and I actually err on the light when it comes to sending out newsletters, because I know very well what it is like to feel completely overwhelmed by a messy inbox. And so I really go the distance to only send out newsletters when I have real deal value to share. So thank you for signing up immediately. Also reminding you, if you have not yet registered for Confluence, which is an amazing freedom gathering coming up in Bandera, Texas in May, at which I will be speaking. I recommend registering immediately. You can find the link to register in the show description. There are going to be workshops, talks, music. There's a swimming pond. It's on a beautiful regenerative farm with lots of animals. I know last year they did a farm tour, which is a really cool way to learn more about regenerative farming. And it's a great way to be with all of us who, for the most part, have been primarily connecting through the digital ethers. It's a chance for us to play in real life. So run, don't walk, to grab your ticket to Confluence. And all right, let's do it. Let's jump in. So by request, I'm breaking down the entire controlled opposition paradigm, because I'm noticing a lot of people are super very confused as to how controlled opposition works, and no harm, no foul. Like, we weren't taught about global apocalypsing or, you know, sham show propaganda techniques in our Common Core curriculum standard issue American educations. And so I am going to do my part to help us learn about this. One of the first, well, I don't know if it's the first, but one of the primary like pushback scripts that I hear around the conversation of controlled opposition, which we will be breaking down, is when we're talking about people who are sharing disinformation, misinformation, propaganda, pushing certain kind of warped, distorted narratives, what I'll hear the most is, but they're sharing such good things. They're doing such good in sharing these particular narratives. Aren't they doing more harm than good? And here's the metaphor that I just came up with this morning when I was taking a cold shower, because I was really challenged in waking my ass up and remembered, oh, right, cold water is my friend. So it's like if I make my family a kale salad for dinner, and then I put arsenic in it. And someone says, but there's so many nutrients in kale. I mean, sure, there are oxalates in it, so it might not be the best example. But let's say I put in like extra chlorella powder and broccoli sprouts and avocado and like really, really high vibe olive oil and all these like beautiful nutrients. And I say, but there's so many nutrients in this salad that I've prepared to poison you to death. Do the nutrients in the salad counteract the arsenic that I've also sprinkled onto this salad? No, they don't. And so I want us to keep this in mind because it's very, very tempting to lend our allegiance to people who are speaking truths that people like you and me have known for a long time, right? It's validating and it's cathartic. Like, oh my God, I've seen this for so many years and now someone is finally speaking to it. And let us remember the arsenic that is the propaganda, the tiny distortions in the narratives, the messaging of the week coming down from the intelligence agencies, sullying the nutrients that are the truth that are also being shared. So, what I thought to do is to utilize my favorite propaganda book. And yes, I'm completely biased because I created it, Pop Propaganda, an Illustrated Guide, which I created to accompany my digital media literacy course that I created for homeschool teens and is also super very appropriate for parents and grown-ups, and you can find that on said website. So I mentioned some of the tactics in here, and I also have my notes up here on my computer, so we're gonna work it out. All right, so controlled opposition comes in a number of different forms. And I also want us to remember that while this has been going on for our entire lives and well before, remembering that Tavistock Institute of Human Relations was the first, as I understand it, let's say in our culture, it was the first kind of propaganda organization. Edward Bernays was part of that, and that was created to generate consensus for World War I, right? So this has been going on for a long time. And since Obama passed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in 2012, that has really changed the landscape in terms of the deafening volume of propaganda and how many more propagandists and more clever ways that propaganda is seeping through the space. So, you know, I'm sure we all know how co-opted the mainstream media is. There are six major corporations that own all of the establishment media. However, what is now called alt media has also been absorbed by that same monster. So, of course, YouTube, of course, all the social media platforms, but then you have Rumble that, you know, futurist techno-fascist Peter Thiel has his hand in, as well as other, you know, big tech oligarchs. And, you know, Wikipedia, which is supposedly like crowdsourced and free, is anything but, right? That's held under Wikimedia Corporation. And when you look at, you know, who the donors are to Wikimedia Corporation, you have Deutsche Bank, you have BP, you have Pfizer, you know, it's like anything but independent. And so, you know, we have a lot of people who've risen to the top of the so-called alt media space. And I can't claim to be an expert as, you know, in knowing like who's controlled by whom, who's being threatened, who's being paid, who's being bought off. And what my goal is today is for us to just start to understand the various ways controlled opposition is operating. And open our minds to the fact that we might all be being snowed. And I think a lot of us have a hard time with this because, you know, we know ourselves as critical thinkers. There's a certain degree of, is it embarrassment that comes along with, like, damn it, I fell for that. And, you know, what I always say is this is my first global apocalypse and I'm just figuring it out as I go along. So I have fallen, what I'm sharing, like I have fallen for all of these. Like I was such a supporter of the intellectual dork web back in the day. I made a cartoon with, you know, me listening to Eric Weinstein with hearts in my eyes. So I have fallen for all of these. I used to listen to Joe Rogan religiously. I still listen to Joe Rogan sometimes because I find his shows entertaining and, I do what I always advise my propaganda students to do is just pay attention for the propaganda. Make it a game, spot the propaganda. Because again, going back to our like beautiful nutritious salad that has been sprinkled with arsenic, yes, there are a lot of nutrients there. There are a lot of things that taste good. And let us not forget that the arsenic is also always, always, always there. So we're just gonna go in order from our illustrated guide to propaganda. And what we're gonna start off with is the trusted leader. So the trusted leader is a super old school propaganda technique. And I'm just gonna read us from the book. It's possible that trusted leaders were at some point honest humans occupying leadership positions. These days, trusted leaders are influencers, celebrities, and billionaires. Remember, people caught in the grips of groupthink don't actually think. They follow. They follow trusted leaders. Trusted leaders don't need to have any real personal connection to the propaganda they're swilling. It's not about the product, the movement, or the op they're shilling. It's about their trusted leadership and the magnetism it generates when it comes to hurting the masses. And so we have, for those listening, we have a couple illustrations. We've got a talking head saying, believe this. We've got a hot chick saying, buy this. And we've got an activist saying, do this. The gist with trusted leaders is that because people under the sway of groupthink are not actually thinking, right? Their cognitive faculties have been subverted and shut down by way of propaganda. And then in this day and age, by way of glyphosates, EMFs, sugar, you know, whatever other pharmaceuticals they're taking, SSRIs, weed, booze, screen addiction, dopamine addiction, what have you, right? So it's much easier to co-opt the minds of the masses these days. And so it's very easy for the social engineers to influence millions, if not billions of people through these trusted leaders, instead of trying to target the populace one by one by one by one. So you get, the Dalai Lama with this, widely circulated photograph of being injected with the quaxines, that's going to influence a lot of people. You get a Greta Thunberg who's out there railing against climate change, and you have, the youth and the people who do care about the environment, right? And let us note this conflation of pollution and caring about our planet with the climate change narrative that wants to outlaw cow farts and gas stoves, right? Those are very, very different things. But you get these trusted leaders who are being propped up, and then it's very easy to get many, many people to follow. Think of Sean Penn freaking out about Zelensky and Ukraine. And, if he wasn't invited to speak at the Academy Awards, he was gonna smelt his Oscar, right? That is in that instance, Sean Penn acting as a trusted leader because so many people like his acting that maybe the people, who have conflated their own admiration for his talent with the fact that this guy knows something about geopolitics and we should do what he says. Same with like Leonardo DiCaprio, his nonsense about climate change, or Rosie O'Donnell's, beefs with Donald Trump, right? These are all instances of trusted leaders being propped up to sway the public into whatever they're shilling. I'm thinking of Lady Gaga doing some Rock the Vote ad. Like, does Lady Gaga know anything about politics? I don't know. I don't know her. But to conflate her talent and success as a pop star and an actress with, oh, we should do what she says when it comes to voting, that's a social engineering strategy that's using trusted leaders to sway public opinion. So that's one. I also want to mention there's going to be a lot of crossover between these different categories because it's not super cut and dry. So Joe Rogan is also acting as a trusted leader. Now, he's also acting as a bad actor and a disinformation agent, which we're about to get into. But think of all the workout biohacker bros who have come to admire Joe Rogan for his podcast platform, for his MMA stuff, for, you know, going back to Fear Factor, for the fact that he like gets high on his podcast and they think he's cool. So when all of a sudden you see him like strong-arming Candace Owens about climate change, people are gonna, you know, more easily give their allegiance over to Joe. Or when he's saying, you know, that Elon Musk is amazing and Tesla's the coolest car, you've got someone like Joe Rogan saying that, that's going to influence millions and millions of people. So when we say trusted leader, I also wanna be clear, we're not saying that these people have any actual leadership qualities, right? These aren't people who've necessarily deserved these positions that we're calling trusted leaders, but in terms of these propaganda techniques, they're acting as trusted leaders in terms of how much influence they have over a lot of people. All right, let's move on to the next one. Bad actors. So bad actors, page 57. Bad actors. So here we have an illustration of, again, a Dalai Lama-like figure being injected, being given money by a shadowy figure and saying microchips save lives. Obviously, this is satire. I'm not accusing the Dalai Lama of shilling for microchips. Bad actors are inserted into the public sector where they pretend they are aligned against the agenda of the propagandist, when in fact they're acting on its behalf. Bad actors can be corporate shills, government folks, celebrities, experts, scientists, doctors, media makers, you name it. Bad actors are sent into various organizations to make it seem like they're on board with the mission, when they're actually working against it. So some examples of bad actors, Andrew Bustamante, okay? He's like quintessential bad actor. This guy's a former CIA agent. Now, let us all be on alert to how often, especially recently, we've seen these young public figures. I'm thinking of Amaryllis Fox, I'm thinking of Andrew Bustamante, and there's the guy who's doing all the like UAP misinformation. We can tap into Dark Journalist to learn more about that. His name may or may not come to me. But there's no such thing as a former CIA agent, especially when they're like young. But as I understand it, and I'm not an intelligence agent, but like no one ever really leaves the agency. So now when you have people like Andrew Bustamante, who has his own podcast, who is appearing on all the famous podcasts, who's alleging to tell us all of the CIA tricks and alleging to like blow the lid off of it, no, that's a bad actor who's pretending that he's left the agency and is now acting on behalf of the people, even if it's not in the agency's best interest. That's not how it's going. He's a very easy example. So Bob Woodward, I recently heard Bill Murray interviewed on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about Bob Woodward's book on Jim Belushi. And Bill Murray said he got about 10 pages into the book and he had the epiphany, wow, Watergate was a total lie because of the untruths that Bob Woodward was writing about Jim Belushi and all of the sources that he was citing, who according to Bill Murray, who was like super tight, were not anywhere close to the inner circle. So this is hearsay, I'm not saying I know this firsthand, and allegedly, from what I understand, and what we, you know, how we've seen Bob Woodward, you know, opining or weighing in on, you know, our various geopolitical situations in the past few years, it definitely appears like he's a bad actor. Like he claims to be this renegade investigative journalist who blew the lid off of the whole, you know, Nixon scandal, when in fact it seems like he's actually acting as a propagandist in service to the hidden agendas that the propaganda is being utilized to sway public opinion to support. Remember, this is a key about propaganda. Propaganda always has a hidden aim, right? It claims to be one thing when it's actually serving something that's in the dark. And this is where I think we can sometimes get confused about advertising as propaganda, because with advertising, we know what they're selling, right? If I'm watching a Sprite commercial and they're manipulating my emotions to sell Sprite, I'm aware of what they're doing. But where it becomes propaganda is when the whole Sprite commercial is happening at a gay pride parade and everyone's all rainbowy and like S&M'd out. So you have the forward-facing agenda is selling Sprite. Where it becomes propaganda is the secret agenda is to push this alphabet movement, right? So remembering that propaganda is always gonna be, there's some secret agenda happening on the side. All right, other examples of bad actors, Tucker Carlson, again, probably. I am guessing that Tucker Carlson is a propagandist, not just because his father was one of the original Voice of America people, which is, you know, was a definite government propaganda organization, but because of looking at his career, because of things that, you know, Emily and I have dissected over the years, because of his reach. You know, I remember when the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up. Pause for a sip. And it seemed so obvious that it was the United States that was responsible for it. Again, allegedly, seemed really obvious to me. And then Tucker Carlson came out maybe a year or two ago blaming some other, like it was totally out of the blue who he was blaming. That was like, yeah, that's not really landing as true. So remember when George Bush accused Saddam Hussein of having weapons of mass destruction? In that instance, he was acting as a bad actor. He was acting against the best interests of this country. He was flat out lying, right? Claiming to be there to safeguard, you know, American freedom and American lives, but really having this whole different globalist agenda driving the false narrative that he was pushing forth. Bill Gates, very obvious bad actor, right? This guy claims to be all about world health, and he's a eugenicist, right? This is documented. He comes from a family of eugenicists. He has been experimenting on children in Africa and in India for years and years and years, killing them, maiming them, rendering them infertile. But he's being propped up as this pillar of global health. Total bad actor. Elon Musk. So I know that a lot of people think the jury is still out on Elon Musk and think that he's this like great protector of free speech. That's not my experience of Elon Musk. I'd like us to keep in mind that censorship is still going on pretty hardcore on Twitter. I know myself, I'm way more shadow banned now on Twitter than I was when Jack Dorsey is in charge. And that's not really saying much because I was being highly, highly censored under Jack Dorsey. But, you know, I'd like to give Johnny Vedmore credit for the work that he's done on Edge. And Edge is this organization of, you know, people who consider themselves some sort of intellectual elite, these globalists, futurists, techno-fascist psychopaths have been meeting since the 90s to figure out how they're going to create this like techno-fascist one world government and how they're going to generate consensus for this. And Elon Musk is absolutely a part of that. He was named one of Santa Fe Institute's Men of the Year. We know Santa Fe Institute. If you're not familiar with my work on Santa Fe Institute, you could follow it on my Words podcast with Emily, but they're pushing so many dark agendas and dark psyops in a really gross way. But so we have Elon Musk who wants to chip everyone's brain, give up on planet Earth and relocate, you know, the few humans who survive this agenda to Mars. This guy is not acting on behalf of humanity, but he's pretending he is, thus rendering him a bad actor. Obama, this is gonna be my last example for this one, but Obama, you know, that guy was so bad, like what he did to really disrupt and destabilize our country and the whole world situation is over the top, right? But he had this like really smooth delivery, Right. And for those who've done their research, we know that he trained with actors for a long time to prepare for his role as president, as good guy. But that guy was acting against the best interests while presenting a different front. So bad actors, in the different categories of controlled opposition, are straight up lying, and they know they're straight up lying. And this is another piece that I think is important for us to differentiate. A lot of people who are acting as controlled opposition, A, are not willingly confusing, misleading the public. A lot of them don't even know it. A lot of them don't understand how they are being handled and swayed and influenced, but bad actors absolutely do. So these are the ones who are willfully lying, willfully misleading the public. I have my own ideas about other so-called alt media personalities who are in the category of bad actors, and as I don't have like hard and fast evidence, I'm going to hold my tongue. But there's a lot more like malicious intent when we're dealing with bad actors. Now, bad actors might be being paid. Like, think of Beyonce, who showed up at some Kamala Harris event, giving her support to Kamala Harris, and then we found out she was paid $10 million. That's a bad actor right there, because she was being paid to pretend that she had this allegiance that, I mean, I can't say that she didn't have it. I don't know that she wasn't pro Kamala, but she was paid $10 million to do that, just the same way Ben Stiller was paid to show for Zelensky on Ukraine, right? So all of these people who are being paid, these celebrities are being paid to prop up other bad actors or nefarious people, they are also acting as bad actors, so that we have another category of controlled opposition. The disinformation agent, this is where it gets a little bit more opaque, because we have a lot of different levels and layers and iterations of disinformation agents. So let me read from our trusty Pop Propaganda Illustrated Guide, and then we'll break it down. So the disinformation illustration is the same illustration that is on the cover. Yes, this was inspired by one Joe Rogan, and we can see him being puppeteered by a masked figure. This is just satire. This is just humor. I'm just an artist entertaining here. I'm not making any hard and fast accusations. The disinformation agent is a master of disguise. He may come in the guise of your favorite podcast host, potty mouth comedian, or self-proclaimed independent journalist. She will speak valuable and refreshing truths and even vocally oppose the dominant narratives that the propagandist is paid to prop up. Alas, while the disinformation agent speaks worthy truths 99% of the time, there is that lingering 1% wherein she drops a hefty sprinkling of propaganda into the eyes and ears of her unwitting audience, who see her as a rebel truth teller, as someone who stands against the establishment and whom they can trust. This, of course, is false. The disinformation agent, also called controlled opposition, is working with the very agents he claims to oppose and is deliberately misleading the public on their behalf. Now, addendum. At this stage of the game, and keep in mind, I'm still learning the landscape, right? Even though I was trained as a journalist, even though I worked as a journalist, I'm still learning the propaganda landscape. And so I don't know that it's true that all the disinformation agents and controlled oppositions know that they're misleading the public. What I've come to figure out is that some of these disinformation agents are pushed to the front of the room and given these very high-profile positions of, like investigative reporter. I'm thinking of Michael Schellenberger right now, because they're of average or sub-average intelligence. And my thoughts about Michael Schellenberger are merely opinion. They're just some pieces that I'm playing with in my mind. I'm not making any hard and fast accusations. And these caveats are these days important as I see where the information sharing landscape is going. And so I'm doing my best to be more responsible with my opinions and the pieces that I'm putting together. But I think a lot of these people are pushed to the front of the room. And I've actually seen documentation to this end because they're of substandard intelligence. And so these people can gatekeep themselves because they're not smart enough to see the big picture. They'll get a tiny piece of the puzzle and they'll run with it from a very limited, narrow, one-dimensional perspective. And they're not going to put the pieces of the whole thing together so it's safe to let them run free. So my theory on this is why Michael Schellenberger was put on the Twitter files with Matt Taibbi, who in fact is a very smart investigative journalist. By pairing them together, you have Matt Taibbi lending validity and validation to Michael Schellenberger's journalist status because they're working together. It's another propaganda strategy. You know what? I don't know if it's so much a propaganda strategy as it is a marketing strategy. It's a proof of concept type thing. It's like, look, I'm holding up my book, and look at the back of the book. It has blurbs about how awesome this book is. Blurbs from Mickey Willis, Adam Curry, Dr. David E. Martin, and Foster Gamble, right? So by having these blurbs by these famous people, it lends legitimacy to this book and it tells the reader, look, smart, famous, successful people think this is a good book, so you should do that too. That's exactly what we saw by pairing Matt Taibbi with Michael Schellenberger. And when we're looking at the long game of this like whole propaganda landscape, we could see, okay, so that was done to give Michael Schellenberger legitimacy for other psyops, other misinformation and propaganda that will, in the future be coming out of Michael Schellenberger because we've already established his legitimacy by putting him on the Twitter files with smart guy Matt Taibbi. There are various ways that these disinformation agents are being manipulated and put into these positions. So I'm sure there's a realm of these wherein maybe they're just not good people, right? Maybe they're being paid. One of the biggest ways that I see a lot of disinformation agents and controlled opposition being nudged into these positions is by way of ego gratification, ego stroking, and then those people's own unexamined hubris and arrogance. I think this is probably the most common. And to be perfectly honest, I have fallen prey to this myself. Now, I don't. Was I spreading disinformation? I'm going to speak about it from my perspective, and then we'll go into the larger landscape. For me, it was probably like disinformation light. So I have seen instances wherein I have had really famous, impressive, successful people tell me how wonderful I am and really stroke my ego and tell me how great my books are and that they want to have me on their podcast and I'm so great. And so, kind of blinded by that type of ego gratification, it was easier for me to defend those people, to defend their integrity, to defend the idea that they're uncompromisable, that everything they're saying is true, when in fact, I mean, no one really knows that. Like, as close as we are to anyone, we still have our own private lives. And so it could be my like very best friend in the world, but I don't know if my very best friend has had like a private conversation with, some World Economic Forum guy who's like, yeah, I'll, put 10 million in your bank account if you soften your stance on issue X, right? No one knows that because no one's with us 24/7 or in our minds 24/7. So when we're like claiming to know unequivocally that these people are not compromisable, I don't honestly know how anyone could really truly know that. But I am seeing in hindsight where I was susceptible to either like vouching for people who maybe I shouldn't have been vouching for, or not looking into certain narratives that painted them in unfriendly lights because of them being so overly complimentary of me, right? And that's very human. I know very few people who are not going to be somehow susceptible to that. And I'm not saying that to let myself off the hook. I'm saying that because we're all human. We all have ego. And I think especially for, you know, I'll just speak for me, for someone who has been working so hard, so consistently, so diligently in this space for so many years without that kind of like, you know, either mainstream success or even the like alt media variety, it feels really good when someone I admire tells me I'm wonderful, right? And so that acts as like a very soft kind of gatekeeping that might keep me from investigating certain stories or looking into certain rumors, or just have me standing up for people who maybe don't deserve to be stood up for. An example of this, and I do not know the background, is Ian Carroll put out a video about Nicole Shanahan about a year ago. And I'm not talking about the interview that he did with her. It was a video that he did just defending her honor point by point by point by point by point. I don't know the details. I don't know if Nicole Shanahan paid him to do that. I do know that he said in his Viva Fry podcast that Nicole Shanahan paid to fly him out to her home. And this was right before, or possibly at the same time that this video came out. So it could just be, again, let's take the most benign possible version. And I'm just guessing here. Let's say Nicole Shanahan flew him out to her home, gave him like beautiful, you know, medicinal mushroom teas and a beautiful lunch, and was complimentary about how amazing he was. And just because of that and the feelings of goodwill that her generosity engendered, whether her generosity was on the level and free and clear, or whether she was deliberately trying to influence him, that in itself, in a very soft, benign way, may inspire him to defend her honor and put out a whole video about how amazing she is, right? That's a very human form of a disinformation agent, is flattery and ego stroking, right? People who are just happy to be in the room. Someone who's, you know, otherwise unknown and invited to speak at Rescue the Republic, and then they get to Rescue the Republic, and all the cool people are talking about a specific narrative from a specific angle. And because that person who's now been invited into the room wants to be part of the crowd, could adopt those ideas, right? Very human and very, very common. So this is, like I said, some soft ways that we see controlled opposition working. Some other ways: people who are being threatened or blackmailed. Obviously, I don't have any hard and fast, provable information about this. But one thing that I've noticed from my entire career spent in media, and my last 5 years spent around the health freedom community, people in the health freedom movement, what I've noticed very, very consistently is people who will all of a sudden pull a 180 and change their tune about a specific issue, or all of a sudden like get quiet when asked about something specific, are parents. Look at Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell was leading the charge against the laptop? Was it the Anthony Weiner laptop that had the stuff about Hillary and Huma Abedin? And Sidney Powell went on record saying the most hardened New York cops saw what was on that laptop and puked. And she was also leading the charge about election fraud. And then A couple of years later, she pleads guilty to whatever the charges were and rolls back her entire story. Now, again, I'm just guessing. I don't know what happened there, but I would guess that someone threatened her kids, or threatened her or something. Again, I'm just guessing. But when I look at the people within, you know, the quote unquote health freedom community who all of a sudden have changed their tunes or stopped talking about things that they were speaking very loudly about, the through line is that they have children. I was pretty thrown off by one of these instances with someone with whom I have had what I would call a friendship, and because of my recent lessons around people sucking, not all of them, but a lot of them, I'm realizing how I had been misusing the term friend to mean someone I know or someone I used to know. But I was so thrown by this person whom I thought I used to know, I used to call a friend, turning on a dime and all of a sudden, like, going silent on an issue about which he had been outlandishly outspoken. I brought it up with one of my psychic advisors, and she said she saw a gun to the back of his head. So again, I have no idea. I'm just sharing, but I think this is a big piece in the disinformation agent space and the controlled opposition space, because as dark as it is, like, that's what we're dealing with. Like, it's dark. The whole idea of convincing an entire populace that rolling themselves into a one world government techno-fascist enslavement system is a peachy keen idea is dark, is super dark. And so they're using dark methods to fulfill their plan, to push it forward. And so I think it's naive to think that a lot of these people are not being threatened. And another caveat, and I did do a short video about this a couple years ago. I'm not a parent. I don't have children. So I don't know what it's like to have my children's lives threatened. So I'm also, to be very clear, I'm not saying all disinformation agents, all controlled opposition are scumbags who deserve to be derided and mistreated. I think it's a much more mixed bag. And I have compassion for people whose families are being threatened. It's easy for me to say nothing would ever force me to compromise my integrity because I roll single and solo. And it's much easier for me to put myself on the line because I'm not responsible for the lives of children. So another caveat is, I'm not in that situation, and I cannot speak to what it feels like to be in that situation. So there are people in my sphere who I believe are acting as different. Well, I know they're acting as disinformation agents because I see it and I clock the untruths, or I clock the rolling back of certain narratives, or I clock the unwillingness to go places where they used to go. So I know that they're controlled. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. But what I don't know is under what circumstances are being controlled. Now, I think there are also instances where people are being paid. I don't have as much leeway for the people who are being paid versus the people who are being threatened, because they're basically acting as whores, saying that, like, truth and justice aren't as important to them as the almighty deflated dollar and their own comfort, right? It's like a me consciousness versus a we consciousness. But you know what? I'm hearing myself say this, and there's a part of me that needs to recognize, if I'm being intellectually honest, that we're all operating at the levels of consciousness where we're authentically at. So if we're referring back to spiral dynamics, and there's first tier consciousness and second tier consciousness, first tier consciousness is a me-centered consciousness. And people who are operating at that level of consciousness are going to put their own needs, their own comfort, their own everything before the good of the whole. If that's where people are authentically in their level of consciousness, it's out of line for me to blame and shame and deride them. That being said, when they're acting dishonestly, I don't respect it. I think it's gross. I think it's gross to sell humanity down a piranha infested river just for, you know, a house in the Hamptons or what, you know, whatever it is, 10 acres in the Texas Hill Country, who knows? But this is another way in which controlled opposition, disinformation agents are being controlled, is they're being bought and paid for. And that, you know, that's an obvious one. Again, I don't have any hard and fast evidence. I'm not making any accusations. I'm just breaking down the various ways that this is going down, because I see a lot of people in our community and on planet Earth are naive to this, you know, understandably so. And I think the more that we could just start to understand it in a more granular, detailed fashion, the easier it's going to be for us to understand how you, me, and all of us are being swayed by these agents. So let me pause. I'm going to pause and I'm going to come back with an even fuzzier realm of the controlled opposition conversations. I want to get into the concept of handlers. I think the vast majority of disinformation agenting and controlled oppositioning that we are right now being bombarded with is coming from handlers. So the concept of handlers, as I understand it, is comes out of the intelligence agencies, right? Think MK Ultra and all the other MK programs that don't have as much press as MK Ultra. But just for the sake of simplicity, I'm gonna stick with MK Ultra and caveat this with, I know there are a bunch of other of these mind control programs going on. We just don't know their names. But the idea of handlers is having someone who's trusted near the person who's being controlled, and that trusted person is influencing them on the regular. And that trusted handler isn't necessarily an intelligence agent themselves, but that person is acting on behalf of the intelligence agents or the globalists or, you know, whatever the groups are, Consilience Project, Edge, Lifeboat Foundation, Santa Fe Institute, Aspen Institute, like whatever it is, the handlers are acting on behalf of the secret agenda. And the person who's being handled doesn't know that they're being manipulated by said handlers. This can happen in so many, so many ways. So remember I said there's going to be a lot of crossover. So remember I gave the example of Nicole Shanahan flying Ian Carroll out to her house, and then he put out a video defending Nicole Shanahan. It is possible, I'm not saying this happened, it is possible that Nicole Shanahan was handling Ian and had targeted him and propped him up to run defense for some of the pushback and criticism she was getting when she was named RFK's running mate. It's possible, right? Looking at like a Brett Weinstein, Heather Heng, Dark Horse podcast, it's possible that Heather Heng could be acting as Brett's handler. I don't know. Keep in mind, Brett Weinstein is part of Brownstone Foundation, Consilience Project, Edge.org, right? He's on a lot of these dark, nefarious organizations. So who knows the various ways in which I think he's acting as a disinformation agent and controlled opposition? Is he being handled? Is he not smart enough to understand? Is he totally in on it? And doing a bad actor thing where he's flat out lying to us, right? That part of it is opaque. And I'm not claiming to know those things. What I'm claiming to know are the markers and the patterns that consistently, time after time after time, point to controlled opposition and propagandists spewing their nonsense. What I'm sharing with you guys is just, you know, a few of the ways that this can go down. I don't think it's the wisest use of our time today for me to go back into the misinformation that I've heard these alleged disinformation agents share. or the flat out lies, or the ways that I'm seeing propaganda approved narratives being spewed from the mouths of various disinformation agents at the same time. But let me give you another example of how handling works, can work. So Amazing Polly did a phenomenal series on the wellness company. So there's a certain cadre of podcasters and alt media content creators. And if you're listening with your ears, I am definitely making quote marks with my fingers, because the word alt media has been co-opted and weaponized the same way so many other words have been co-opted and weaponized. And I will be getting into this in the next part of this podcast. This is one of those podcasts that you definitely want to be tuning into part one and part two. So let me just do a little break here to say, if you are not yet supporting me on Patreon or on Locals, which gives you access to all of my second half conversations, do reach out to me. I'm happy to offer this one for a simple, like one time, we'll say $5 donation, because you definitely want to be tuning into both parts of today's podcast. It's super, super juicy. And today is like an educational offering as to really quantum leaping our understanding of how the globalist agenda is operating and some of the behind the scenes tricks and techniques they're using to manipulate us and to sway us. So today's show, you definitely want to be checking out both parts. So Amazing Polly did this breakdown of the wellness company. The wellness company sponsors a lot of the podcasters and quote unquote alt media content creators who are acting as disinformation agents. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that everyone who the wellness company sponsors is a disinformation agent, but I'm saying a lot of people who are sponsored by the wellness company are acting as disinformation agents. I'll leave it to you to decipher which ones. Now, Amazing Polly's research unpacked that the wellness company seems to also be an intelligence operation. There's a guy running it who comes out of intelligence. And like I said, I can't do it justice. I'm not going to do it justice in just a couple minutes. She did a number of videos on it. It's well worth your time and attention. You can find that over on her Rumble channel. But okay, so we have the wellness company who is sponsoring a number of podcasters, which means they're giving them money. It seems like a lot of the content creators who are sponsored by the wellness company will A, have similar guests on at the same time, right? So we'll notice when certain disinformation agents are making the rounds. Let's go back to a Brett Weinstein or an Eric Weinstein, like either of the Weinstein brothers. That does it for the first half of today's super juicy, hyper educational podcast. As you are inspired to scope out the second half, which I truly cannot recommend highly enough, you can find that over on my Locals and my Patreon communities. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycats. At both communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content. As I mentioned earlier, if you are not feeling inspired with a monthly membership donation, I truly feel that today's podcast is important enough to warrant me making an exception to my current structure. So as you are wanting to scope out the second half, and you're not yet feeling aligned with joining one of my communities, for a simple $5 donation, I'm very happy to send you that link. So feel free to email me through my website, and I'm happy to send you that link because today's show does feel really important. Also, reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com. And lastly, a big part of what we've been moving through today is coming from not just my Pop Propaganda Illustrated Guide, but also from my Pop Propaganda Digital Media Literacy course for teens and parents. So that course is available through my website. It is a totally one of a kind course. There's nothing like it out there. It is created to educate us as to the tools, tricks, and techniques the social engineers use to attempt to manipulate, control, and divide us, as well as to help us cultivate our confidence, agency, and critical thinking. I promise you, once you complete all 11 modules, which include videos, PDFs, animations, illustrations, prompts, exercises, you will absolutely be able to recognize propaganda in an instant. And the thing is that once we recognize the propaganda tricks and techniques as they're being deployed, they don't work on us. So it allows us to safeguard our sovereignty, our agency, our critical thinking, and then to come together to create a newer, better game. So I recommend registering for that. When you register, you get instant lifetime access, and you can find that over on my site, dannykatz.com. All right, that does it. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that everywhere matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.